I want to discuss a little further the thought of the whole power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. I was thinking after I sat down this morning of some more of the teachings of Jesus. There in the 5th chapter of Matthew, he says, "Ye have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and cast your name out as evil." I wonder if we have tried dealing with our enemies like that. You got to be pretty dead to self to deal with your enemies like that. The natural inclination is if people hate you, you just say, well, they don't have to be bothered with me. I'll just not bother around them. I'll not have anything to do with them. They mistreated me and they hate me. But Jesus said, do them good. Try approaching it like that, see? And that'll deal a devastating blow to your self-life, your ego, and cut you down some. But that's the way Jesus said to do it. If we just carry out the teachings of Jesus, there won't be much place for self at all, will it? And he said, pray for them that despitefully use you and cast your name out as evil. Well, you would feel inclined to resent them, wouldn't you? That'd be the natural inclination, just resent them. They didn't do me right. They mistreated me. They slandered me. They cast my name out as evil, circulated reports about me, and so on. And the natural inclination would just be to resent them. But approach it from the angle of praying for them. See how that works. See if it doesn't work a miraculous change in your attitude and in your disposition, the way your heart is. The heart that is a little bit crusted because people mistreated you and you resented them. You just approach it that way. Start praying for them. Pray for them often. Just keep praying for them. It'll keep yourself knocked down and under control. Yes. Clifford says it'll make you feel better, and I testify that that's so. I was thinking also in regard to this self-life. I'm not going to preach further on that. I'm going to move on. But I did think about this. You take the law enforcement officers, and they're sent out to arrest somebody, and the word is out the man is armed and dangerous. They don't play around much with that fella, do they? If they get him in a corner, sometimes they'll hide out in a barn or in a house or try to protect themselves somewhere or other. Those policemen, law enforcement officers, they approach that place quite stealthily and with their guns on the ready, drawn, just looking for any movement they can get in that house or anything they can see that indicates anybody's in there or where he might be. And they're just right ready. When I was a young fellow, we had some real desperadoes over in Oklahoma. One of them was Pretty Boy Floyd. One of them was John Dillinger. And they were real desperadoes. They'd killed a few officers, shot their way out of a few traps. I think it was Pretty Boy Floyd is one of those men that they finally cornered in a barn over in the hills of Missouri. And they knew they were dealing with somebody dangerous that didn't mind killing somebody, and especially a law officer. There was quite a company of them, and they had that barn surrounded. They figured if they gave the man a chance, well, several of them would probably lose their lives. So they just come in on that place from all sides, shooting as they come, just coming in on that place. Well, they got into the barn, they found the boy dead in there. He'd been hit several times, but they weren't taking any chances. When you and I are dealing with self, he's a dangerous character. And he'll cut us down, he'll destroy us if he can. And when we're kind of approaching some of those hideouts of self where he's been kind of showing up and manifesting himself before, we ought to go in on the ready, just ready to strike him down any time that he shows up. Just deal with him like a dangerous character. And one that's out to destroy us. Now, my text says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And folks, what we need is the power of an endless life working in us. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 23rd verse, Paul says this: all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things indeed are lawful, but all things edify not. Then in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in verse 12, he uses almost the same language, but picks up another little thought here. He says, all things indeed are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. Now this teaches us that lawful things, permissible things, have a power about them. And Paul was resolved that he would not be brought under the power of even permissible things and things that could not be classified as sin. But he would not be brought under the power of any. Now God doesn't want you and me under any power but his power. And the power of the Holy Ghost working in us will give us power over all other powers. The power of the devil, Jesus said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Well, how does the devil come at you? Well, maybe he comes at you in peculiar ways. Maybe he comes at you in ways that you couldn't describe, and he hadn't come at anybody else maybe just like that. But when Jesus said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, that'll take that in too. If he's coming at you in some unusual way, or in ways that he hadn't come at other folks, it'll take that in too if we just apply it. I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Now, let us realize that you and I are the guardian of our own soul. sometimes people say, this is a pretty widespread attitude, and it's a bad one. But they'll say, just show me where this is sin. Just show me where Jesus said to not do this. Or where the Bible says to do that. Give me a chapter and verse. Just show me in black and white. If you can't spell it out to me, then just let me alone. Well, that's about all you can do, but that's a destructive, bad attitude for people to have. What we need to realize is, I'm the guardian of my own soul. You're the guardian of yours. I believe it was the psalmist David who said, my soul is continually in my hand. I have my own soul in my own hand. So do you. And if a thing is affecting you in a spiritual way, and affecting your spiritual life, and is hindering you, whether I can show you where it's sin or not, or spell it out to you, or show you in black and white where Jesus said to do this or not to do that, God wants you to value your salvation and your relationship with Him enough that anything that is affecting you in an adverse way in your spiritual life, you put it away, whether it's sin or whether it isn't. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong. If it's affecting you wrong, that you will put it away from you. Not be brought under the power of any. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life will give you power over permissible things. And over things that, under ordinary conditions, are all right, but under my condition, they're not all right because they affect me in the way they do. Some things that are entirely permissible and all right for some folks, and it doesn't affect them in any bad way at all, those things would affect me and affect me adversely. Then I should think enough of my relationship with God and value my salvation and my soul to the extent that I'd throw down all argument, drop all questions, and just put that thing away. It's affecting me in a bad way. It's hindering my spiritual life. All things are lawful, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. Now, when something gets hard for you to give up, you're already too much under the power of that. That's something you ought to start shaking loose from and digging out from under right then when it gets hard for you to give up. And we need to value our souls and our salvation and our relationship with God to the extent that we will keep free and clear from things that damage us spiritually and that hold us back when we'd like to go forward and pull us down when we'd like to rise. That we can be free to move on out for Him. Now the power of the Holy Ghost in your life will give you power in your mind to govern your thoughts and to control your mind. People say to me sometimes, I can't help what I think. Now, I beg the permission to disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you anyway. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5, says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, is that true or is it not true? It's in the Bible. That gives me good, solid grounds to disagree with you when you say you can't help what you think. When you can't help what you think, you're just not applying the weapons that God gave you. God has given you weapons, given you power and authority in your mind to govern your mind and to control your thoughts. If we fail to use them, that's our fault. If we allow our thoughts to destroy us, and that's just what they'll do, if we don't hold them under control, if we allow our thoughts to destroy us, we just shouldn't have done it. That's our fault. God supplied us with weapons to control our minds and govern our thoughts, and we need to learn to use them and apply them. If you can't help what you think, you just need more power than what you have. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life will give you power to control and to govern your thoughts. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and bringing every thought into obedience to Christ. Now, I thought about the strongholds, and as I did, I thought about the dives and dens of sin. The taverns, the honky-tonks, the roadhouses, and dance halls, and different places where dark sin is carried on and entered into, that was my strongholds. And I thought, well, now how are we going to pull them down? How are we going to get a hold of them? Pull down those strongholds. But God showed me one day that those things were of the world and the world was running them, and He had nothing at all to do with them, but the strongholds He was talking about was in the people's minds. It was in their thoughts. Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, we have a text somewhere. Let's see if I can get a hold of it. Well, it doesn't come to me just right now. But, yes. It's in the Proverbs. It goes like this, that a brother offended is harder to be gained than a walled city. Now, a walled city is a pretty difficult place to take. But he said a brother offended is harder to gain than that is. Well, I wondered why that was. That a brother offended was so difficult to gain. But they are. You just let someone get deeply offended, and that person is hard to win. Now the reason of it is, I came to realize, was because he's got a build up in his mind. And every approach you make to him, he interprets according to what he's got built up in his mind toward you. You offended him, and he's got this thing built up in his mind, just a stronghold there. And he interprets everything according to that. Anything you say, he'll interpret it according to what he's got in his mind. Any move you make, he will interpret that move according to what he's got in his mind. And therefore, it's hard to break through on him. Sometimes you just have to lay siege to that kind of cases. And just lay there and wait and pray and work over a long period of time to break through on that kind of cases. They've got a build up in their mind. And everything is interpreted according to what they have in their mind. And makes it almost impossible for you to make any approach to them. The mind is a pretty important thing. Our thoughts make us. The Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you get to dealing with the mind, you're dealing with a very crucial and important part and function of our being. God knew that, so he provided us with weapons to control our minds and govern our thoughts. And if we fail to do that, that's our fault. We just haven't used the weapons and applied the power that God has supplied for us to do this thing. If I allow myself to think confusing thoughts till I get confused in my mind, that's my fault. God never gave me those thoughts, and I should not have received them. I just shouldn't have allowed my mind to run on things that are confusing. If I allow myself to think doubtful thoughts until I come up doubting everything and everybody a little bit, and I don't know who to believe in, and I don't know what to believe, that's my fault. I've injured and damaged myself, maybe irreparably. Maybe it'll affect me in a way I'll never get over. But it's my fault. I should not have done that. God supplied me with power to govern my mind and control my thoughts. And I should have cast those things out of my mind before they got that far. It's just my fault if I get all messed up in my mind and in my thinking. I just have not applied the weapons that God gave me and used the power that he gave me to govern my mind and control my thoughts. I pray much for myself and my brethren, you and me, that God will give us power in our minds to govern our minds, control our thoughts, renounce, reject, and cast out all detrimental thoughts of every kind, clean our minds from the attic to the basement, air our thoughts destroy us. And that's just what we'll do if we let our minds run unharnessed. Our thoughts will destroy us. We are what we think. And if we think confusing thoughts, we'll be confused. If we think doubtful thoughts, we'll lose confidence, we'll be doubtful. Whatever it is, you and I must value our souls and think enough of our relationship with God and of our salvation to govern our minds and control our thoughts and clamp down on ourselves and refuse ourselves the luxury of thinking contaminating and confusing and defiling thoughts about one another and about whatever it might be. I thought of the text where it speaks of Satan as the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses them before God day and night. Now the Bible says that. We know that he did Job. He accused Job right in the face of God and had a conversation with him about Job. He's probably done many other folks that same way. But I thought like this, if the devil will accuse us in our conscience and accuse us before God, do you think that he would balk at the idea of accusing us in one another's minds? Do you think the devil would balk at the idea of accusing you in my mind, putting accusing thoughts in my mind about you, and accusing me in your mind, and cause you to have accusing thoughts about me and wonder about me? Do you think he'd balk at that idea? Folks, what we need to learn to do is to rise up and present a solid front to the enemy and resist the devil and just not allow the devil to tamper with our minds. God has promised us power over all the powers of the enemy. And he mentions specifically power in our minds, over our thoughts. He'd give us that. All right, now, the power of the Holy Ghost in your life will not only give you power in your mind over your thoughts, but it'll give you power over your innermost feelings also. Somebody said, I just can't forget this. I can't forget that. Brother Chandler brought us a message once down there in Los Angeles. And it was from the text, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now I say that our minds work so backwards. And the things that we ought to forget, we never forget. You let somebody do you bad and try to forget that and see how long it takes you to forget that. And the things that we ought to remember, we fail to remember. The blessings of God, the good things that God has done for us, we fail to remember them, but the way he brought the message out was, why did you fail to remember them? Why did you forget the blessings of God? It was because you had your mind so cluttered up with all this other thing, the way somebody treated me and the way somebody talked about me and the way this went and the way that went. You just had your mind so cluttered up with all those things that there wasn't any place to retain the good things and the blessings of God. So you just forgot them. All that other just crowded them out. We need to reject and renounce that kind of thing before that happens to us. And our worry and agitation over how somebody talked about me and what somebody did to me and so on It just crowds out all of the thoughts we should be retaining about the good things of God and His blessings in our lives. Now, Paul said, "Brethren, I do not claim to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Forgetting the things which are behind. Paul had to unload. He had to clear out his mind. Rid himself of those thoughts of the past. The things that he himself had done and the things that other folks had done to him. If Paul would have went and laid awake nights and brooded over the way he was being treated, and false brethren hounding him, and being cast in prison, and being whipped and beat, and all the different things that were happening to him, do you think he'd have been able to make it through like he did? I try not. He came to a point where he realized that he must unload. He just had to unload. Get rid of those things. Folks, you and I come to those places too where our thoughts and the agitation of our mind is weighting us down and distressing us and worrying us, and we just need to unload. Get some things out of our minds. Clean our minds out from the attic to the basement and start over again. It'd be good for all of us.
Yes, amen.
Be a blessed thing. And somehow or other I have a little idea going in the back of my mind here. And if Paul, meeting all the things that he was meeting and facing all the things he was, if he could just unload and forget that, I can unload too if I just apply the same power, God-given power and ability to control my mind. Well, Brother Chandler went on in that message and he brought out this thought this way. Down further in that 103rd Psalm, he says that the Lord has removed our iniquities as far from us as the east is from the west, and remembers them no more. Now, he said God had power to forget that we were sinners. And that we ever sinned. He just had power to forget the whole thing. Cast the whole thing out of his mind. When our sins were covered in the blood of Jesus, he had power to forget that we were sinners. He didn't remember it anymore. He says when God gets in you, he has that same power. He doesn't get weak just because he got in you. And he doesn't lose his power because he got in you. He has that same power. And if you have problems forgetting and casting out of your mind unpleasant, undesirable, doubtful, confusing thoughts and things that are detrimental to you, just appeal to God. He'll forget them in you. He'll clear your mind of them. I agree with that. Now moving on, the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Will give you power over your innermost feelings. We have a text in the 4th chapter of Ephesians in verse 26. It says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now what does that mean? If it means anything, it means that I have power to control my feelings. power to cast out my feelings. Power to receive feelings. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 15, he's referring there to Esau. And how he sold his birthright, and then he sought a place of repentance and didn't find any, and so on. And he instructed us. This thing can happen to us too, and affect us in an adverse way. But he said, looking diligently, lest any man. Now Esau failed of the grace of God. Now he said, look diligently, lest any of the rest of you do. Fail of the grace of God, lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up, and thereby many be defiled. Now the Bible says that many are defiled with that. I don't know how many, I don't know who maybe. But the Bible says that many are defiled with a root of bitterness, and therefore that should be sufficient to make you and me examine real well all of our motives back of everything we do and think toward any individual. Many are affected with a root of bitterness. But now, these two texts, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and looking diligently lest there be any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, have an important relationship. There's an important connection here. The thought is, take care of your grievances quickly. Don't let them lay. If they lay, they're going to take some root. Anything that stays in your heart over a period of time is going to take some root. Then it's going to be difficult to handle. Handle it quickly before the sun goes down. Don't even sleep on it. Just get rid of it as fast as an evil feeling or an ill will or a hard attitude is presented or suggested to your heart. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Once in a while, somebody comes around and they say, so-and-so hurt me. And I want you ministers to deal with this and straighten this up. Because I'm hurt. All right, now let's see. So-and-so hurt you, yes. When was this? How long ago did this happen? Oh, I don't know, I think a year before last. All right, now somebody hurt you. Yes. And that is year before last. Yes. And you want us to straighten this out and clear it up. Yes. All right, then we'll just start in on you. I'll guarantee you that anybody that's had something laying in his heart there since year before last, he needs some fixing too by now. It's got some roots. He should have taken care of it before the sun went down. He should have eliminated the thing out of his heart and cast it out and renounced and rejected it immediately. Not have held it at all. That's just the place to start, straightening up things, is with the fellow that's had something carrying an offense or a hurt since year before last. Start with him. Brother Francisco said something that might stand a little analysis, and I think it was pretty good. He said, if someone comes to you complaining about someone else, carrying a complaint or a report about another person, says, don't you watch that person, you watch them. You watch the fellow that brought the complaint to you. See how he's living, what kind of attitude he's showing. Many times we'll find the key to settling up things right in there, when people are not manifesting the right attitude and carrying a complaint against someone, and they're holding and manifesting a wrong attitude, right there may be the key to just straightening up that thing. He says, you watch that fella that brought you the report. Don't watch the other fella. I think maybe that's pretty good. Our feelings, hard feelings, wrong kind of attitudes, bitterness, roots of bitterness, already sprung up and taken root, bearing fruit from a thing that's been laying since year before last, or month before last, or some other time. Should have been taken care of before the sun went down. And God has supplied you and me with the power to do that thing. And to take care of our feelings and keep our feelings under control, and to cast out every bad feeling and bitter feeling and everything of a detrimental nature toward any individual, and keep our souls clear. The power of an endless life working in you means more than working miracles. More than healing the sick and raising the dead and cleansing the lepers and casting out the devils. It means more than that, and it's a forerunner to all of that too. The power of an endless life. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, but let us centralize on this kind of power. As power to direct our lives and to live this life like Jesus would have us to live it. We'll have no occasion to worry about any other kind of power if we just take good care of this and keep a good supply of this on hand. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life will accomplish for you what is impossible to be accomplished by any other means. And that's the control of your tongue. Now, there isn't any other means or way of controlling that. The Word of God says, and that should be an end of all strife. When the Word of God says anything, that should settle it. It said the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But the Holy Ghost can tame it. Folks, the power that we need in our lives many times is just to plain shut our mouths. Did you know that's just about as hard a thing as some people can do, is to shut their mouths? But I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. It'll help you to shut your mouth. I have known people and dealt with them that were resolved to have the last word. And they would carry on an argument and keep a thing going and keep it alive a whole lot longer than what it had any right to live. Just to get the last word. I have actually talked people clear down and out till they didn't have another word to say. Couldn't say anymore. They got up, went home, and thought the thing over and come back and started on me again the next morning. Them folks need more power than what they have. Power to control your tongue. Power to speak when you should speak and remain silent when you should remain silent. The tongue's a wonderful thing. And there's great blessing in the tongue if you use it right. But there's death in it too. The Bible said it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And there's death in it too. I tell folks, don't be afraid to use your tongue. Just be careful how you use it. Use it in the right way. A good way, and for a good purpose, and for edification and comfort. Power to control our tongues. Now, at the very outset, I would say that all gossip is taboo. Children of God should never engage in gossip. Use your tongue that way. That's all taboo to start with. Then getting down to the things that are permissible to talk about, be careful how we talk about them sometimes. Control our tongues. David spoke about his lips causing his soul to sin. We have our ideas about sin, do we not? Everybody would readily agree that adultery is sin, wouldn't they? Adultery in all of its facets and in all of its categories, it's sin, isn't it? Stealing is sin. Wouldn't be any argument there. Lying is sin. Nobody'd raise any objection to that statement, would they? Lying is sin. Deceit is sin. But talking too much is sin too. The Bible said, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. The Bible's true. Whether we want to accept it or not, the Bible is true. Amen. And talking too much is sin, just the same as stealing and lying and other things that people do that we classify as sin. But God has supplied us with power through the Holy Ghost to govern our tongues. That's something that cannot be done by other means. We have some diseases that are in an incurable category. And nobody can do anything about them. Now, God can. God has healed some cases like that. Here is something that no one you or no one else can handle, can do anything about, but God can do it.
Amen.
And this power of the endless life working in your soul will enable you to control your tongue.
Praise the Lord.
Folks, if we need anything bad, we need that. We need the ability to control our tongues. Sometimes things happen and we panic. And we just, every time two or more of us get together, it's talk, 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 talk about this thing that happened. And just keep the thing agitated and keep it stirred up. Keep it going. It'll die a natural death if we just let it alone. The Word of God says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And then it goes ahead to apply its thought, where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. And it just died a natural death if we just let it alone. But we panic and we can't let it alone. It's all we can think about. It's all we can talk about. We just need more power than what we have. The power of an endless life working in us to make us behave ourselves right. Now I'm going to say something that you won't accept. I almost promise that you won't accept it. You'll disagree with me, and I don't object to that. That's all right for you to disagree with me. But I'm going to say this, that I have seen a common evil in the Church of God. Oh, you say, no, we won't have that. We won't accept anything like that, being evil in the Church of God. Well, all right, I've said it. I believe I'll just leave it said now for the present, whether you agree with that or not. Permit you the privilege to disagree. But here it is. We get a family relation feeling among ourselves. And consequently, we just feel too free to talk about one another's affairs among ourselves, all in the family. And just talk about one another's affairs and one another's business and one another's blunders and one another's this and that. Just talk, talk, talk and among ourselves, about ourselves, it's all in the family. Folks, let me tell you something. When we feel that kind of liberty to just talk openly about one another's affairs, in the church, we've already carried the family idea too far. We need some brakes on things. We need some ability to control our tongues. And a power to direct our speech. Paul said, let us follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another.
Bless the Lord.
And I've actually seen times when someone would be overtaken in a fault, step aside somewhere or other, and there was so much talk made about it among the group that they felt so intimidated that they'd just go on off and stay. They wouldn't come back. And I knew a case where there was a man. He lived near the Church of God chapel in this city where this happened. The pastor lived just down the street a ways, three or four houses. And this man was a wicked man. I don't uphold his wickedness. He drank and he sold alcoholic beverages, carried on other kinds of vices too. But there was so much made out of that, and this preacher entered into it too, and just talked up and down the street about this man. Finally, the man took sick to die. And he was calling for somebody to pray for him. But he had such built up against this preacher that lived just three or four doors down from him that he wouldn't call him to pray for him, or didn't want him in his house. Well, I think things kind of ran wild there. Kind of went out of control there. Far as I know, the man died that way. I was called to preach his funeral. And some of his folks said that was a bad trick to play on a saint preacher, to call him to preach a funeral like that. But anyhow, I went and preached his funeral. But I say things kind of got out of control there. And it could have been handled in a different way than that, to where there wouldn't have been such a build up there, and maybe the man could have found somebody to pray for him in the last hours of his life. We need power to exercise wisdom in our lives, in our doings, in our dealings with one another, and with the outside world. And we need power to control our tongues, to govern our thoughts, control our feelings, and to whip ourselves in line and make ourselves behave ourselves. Amen.